Well, good morning, and I too greet each one of you in Jesus' name. It is good to be back here. We were gone last Sunday and no midweek services, and it seems like it's been a little while since we've been together. But God has blessed us with this opportunity to come together here this morning, and I trust we'll be encouraged as we continue on through the service. I have been already. Joseph is a challenge to my life, and I would like to be just a little more like Joseph. The kind of leadership and stature that he showed was remarkable. For a sermon this morning, I'm going to read a couple phrases from a song here in the outstart. And the song goes like this: peace, perfect peace, in this dark world of sin. Peace, perfect peace, in this dark world of sin? It's a question mark. The next stanza, or the next verse, the next line, I should say, in this stanza: peace, perfect peace, by thronging duties pressed. Peace, perfect peace, by thronging duties pressed. The next one: peace, perfect peace, with sorrows surging round. The next line: peace, perfect peace, with loved ones far away. And the next line: peace, perfect peace, our future all unknown. The writer of this song, Edward H. Bickersteth, I did look into it a little bit. He was a minister, bishop, in the Church of England, I believed. And this song was actually written one afternoon as he was sitting with an aging family relative who was dying. He was also somebody who was a leader in the church, and he went to visit him on a Sunday afternoon. Now, interesting family. They, every afternoon at tea, or every day at tea, every Sunday at tea, whatever time of the day that was, I'm not sure, but I think it was later in the afternoon or evening, the family was to recite a psalm, a hymn, and they could choose one. But the father here, Edward, he would often as not write one that he would bring, and this was one that he brought on a Sunday. So he sat with his relative there by his bedside. He was not well, and this man was troubled in his spirit, and as he sat there, this song came to his mind, and he wrote it down, and this is what he wrote. He didn't change a word, and he shared it with his relative. Now, that's an interesting gift. I'm not going to spend any more time on Edward, but the song very interestingly sets up this problem. This conundrum, this thing of peace, perfect peace in what? This world of sin? Peace, perfect peace? Our futures all unknown? Peace, perfect peace, by thronging duties pressed? Did anybody have any experiences this week where their peace just sort of got shattered by the reality? What peace are we talking about? How are we to maintain some kind of peace? Peacefulness, and yet face the challenges of our lives. What gives us some equilibrium here? And I'd like to try to just look into that a little in this sermon as we go through it. First of all, the definition of peace, as Webster's has it, is a state of tranquility or quiet. I think we all know what that is. Sometimes you'll get up for, I'll admit to you, when I get up in the morning, I like to get up early enough that it's really quiet and peaceful. Now, there's some times when I don't get up quite as early as I should have. But then there's other times when you'll get up, normal time, and wouldn't you know it, one of the children gets up with you. I mean, basically shows up downstairs 5:45 in the morning. It's like, really? And so the peace just sort of seems to be shattered. But it's a state of tranquility or quiet. Its peace is a freedom from disquieting or oppressive thoughts or emotions. We're sort of moving in that thought to this thing of the mind, where you know your day, your moment is shattered by this conflict of the mind. Your peace is destroyed or disturbed. Freedom from disquieting or oppressive thoughts or emotions. And finally, harmony in personal relationships. All definitions of peace. I was drawn to this message by two things. My wife talked about a conversation she had with someone. And the person basically said, yeah, speaking of another person, that it would be nice if this other person could find some peace. But then he went on to say, but, you know, what is peace? Sort of raising that question, and it's a fair question. And you know, this question, this pursuit of peace, is the pursuit of mankind the world over. It has been the pursuit. Mankind has sought peace ever since it was lost in the garden. There was a time when there really, truly was peace, and man and woman, Adam and Eve, were immersed in it. But that was destroyed. And since that time, this thing of peace has been sought, because it has left a vacancy in man and woman's heart that is universal. I don't care the language. I don't care the culture. There is a pursuit for peace, a pursuit for rest. The following morning, I was in my personal reading, I came through John 14. And if you want to turn to John 14, you can open your Bibles there, and we're going to come back and forth in this chapter some and conclude our sermon here in John 14. So maybe you can just leave your Bibles open there. John 14, and the theme verse that I have is here in verse 27 of John 14. It says this, Jesus speaking, he said, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." So Jesus here is talking about peace. And so I began to study through the Bible and just look at peace, and we want to do that here in just a moment. But as I pondered over the experiences of my own life, what is peace? What is peace to me? What is peace to me? Is it a feeling? Is it some deduction based on facts? Is it an intellectual thing? What is peace? What's your definition of peace? What is my definition of peace? How about us as a congregation? Are we a people who know peace? Does your situation, does the realities of your life feel less than peaceful at times? Well, I think we can answer that question very easily. I know mine does. I've thought about this as I went throughout the week, and I kept thinking, now, what do I do with this? And I was thinking about what I needed to do with the circumstances that were bringing conflict and something less than peace in my life, and how that should or should not impact peace. The big picture of peace. And I want to look at that again as we go along here. So how do we separate this? How do we separate these conflicting feelings and realities in our lives? What about the stresses? What about the uncertainties? What about the imperfections, the failures, the fears? Well, Jesus said here in Philippians, actually back in Philippians 4, verse 7, Jesus said, it wasn't Jesus that said this, but it's in the Word of God. Philippians 4, 7, I was getting mixed up here with John 14, but Philippians 4, 7 says this, It is a precious verse, one that we all know. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. The peace of God, which passeth all understanding, will keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And so that's the peace that we want to focus in on this morning. Now, as I was going through the New Testament, I first of all just simply did a search for the word peace. And it said, do you want to narrow your field? A lot of words. I said, no. It may take a few seconds to, I'll take them all. And so I started to scroll through them and read. And of course, there's a lot of familiar verses like the ones I just read. So I just stepped out of the Old Testament and looked at the New Testament. And I sort of broke it down. And from what I can see, there's at least three primary Greek words that peace, the English word peace, is translated from. Three different words. We're going to spend just a little bit of time looking at them. I think it'll help us in our study of peace. The first one was from the Greek word phemo, F-E-E-M-O. Phemos, and that word means to muzzle. That's what the Greek word means. It means to muzzle. And I'll give you, we'll just read a couple verses where that word peace, this Greek word translated peace, is used. Luke 4, verse 35. And Jesus rebuked him, saying, hold thy peace, and come out from him. And when the devil had thrown him in the midst, he came out and hurt him not. So Jesus here was commanding an evil spirit. He said, hold your peace. And so that word was from a Greek word, which means to muzzle. Another verse, 1 Corinthians 9:9 says this, for it is written in the law of Moses, thou shalt not muzzle the mouth of the ox that treadeth out the corn. That's the same Greek word, and actually there it is not translated peace. I actually just noticed that. And also here in 1 Peter 2:15, another place where this same Greek word is used, now we're just to understand this word, it is, for it is the will of God that with well-doing you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. And so this Greek word translated peace many times in the New Testament. I only gave you one. There was numerous others. Has this idea of silencing, muzzling, an outward power restraining, taking away the ability. So it's almost like a physical restraint. So the word peace in the New Testament numerous times is talking about that kind. By force, by outward restraint, bringing about peace. And I think you think about the law of the land, that's what the law of the land does. It, by force, brings about peace. It establishes peace, and it brings into submission. That's what's being talked about here. Jesus brought this devil, this evil spirit, into submission by his command, and Jesus could do that. The next word that I want to notice is another Greek word, and I really can't pronounce it. I don't really even need to, but it's again, numerous times this word is used, and it's translated into Greek. I'll give you an example. Translated from Greek into peace. Mark 4, verse 39. And Jesus arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. It's an interesting account because of all the miracles that the disciples had seen, these words from Jesus and their effect on the storm amazed them so much. And they said, who is this man? Jesus spoke peace here. And this word peace means an involuntary stillness. It means a silence. It means just quiet silence. It means to be calm. And so on. Another place it's used in Mark 14:61, and Jesus held his peace and answered nothing against the high priest And again, the high priest asked him and said unto him, art thou the Christ, the Son of the Blessed? And Jesus held his peace. It was not something that he really wanted to do. That's what this word means. It's involuntary. It's a little different than outward force being put on. It's an inward force. It's holding your tongue, holding your peace. And you all know what that's like. Where you hold your tongue, you hold your peace, you decide to let that turmoil remain within, okay, and to process it and not to expose it or bring it out and all of the ramifications of that. You know, it's one thing if you have, if something really troubles you or even angers you, if you hold that within you and process it, and finally, by the grace of God, to do the right thing with that and not use it against someone, that's called holding your peace. And that's what Jesus was doing here. Luke 19:40, and Jesus answered and said unto them, I tell you that if these should hold their peace, the people were crying out, Jesus was coming into Jerusalem, they were crying, Hosanna to the King, the highest, and Jesus said, if they would hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out. So it's another place where Jesus is, where this Greek word is translated into peace. And so this word peace here means more of an internal restraint, one that cannot be seen, and sometimes against our natural will. Now I have the last one here that I'm going to look at, and this is the word peace that is probably translated, this Greek word is translated most oftenly as peace in the New Testament, and that word is irene, and it means, first of all, to join, peace, prosperity, quietness, rest, and I highlighted this last phrase, to set at one again. To set at one again. The word peace and what this message is, peace, perfect peace, the burden of the gist of this message is wrapped up here in this Greek word, to set at one again. Peace, perfect peace. Yes, this peace, and the songwriter goes on he answers his questions. Peace, perfect peace, in this dark world of sin, the blood of Jesus whispers peace within. And so he answers that, and he does that in each one of the phrases in this song, of the questions that he raises. But I'll give you some examples of where that word peace is used. For instance, we already looked at Philippians 4, verse 7, where it says, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. John 14:27. Peace I leave with you. My peace, well, I just read it. It's here in our text verse. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Jesus is saying there in verse 27 that I'm going to give you quietness. I'm going to set at one again. I'm going to do all of that. That's what I'm here to do. And so that your heart's not troubled, and so that you're not afraid. Romans 14, verse 17 says, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Romans 14:7. It's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Acts 10:36. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ. That was Paul testifying of what God was doing through Jesus Christ. And he said, he sent unto the children of Israel, it was prophesied, preaching peace by Jesus Christ. Romans 5, verse 1, another familiar verse. And it'll be my last example. There could be many more. But here this verse says, Romans 5, verse 1 says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. It's a beautiful and a simple verse. That word means we are set at one again. That's what that verse is talking about. And this word peace that we're looking at here, this Greek word translated into peace, is very closely related to to the Old Testament word shalom. Shalom, which means peace. It's very closely connected to that. And so you could go look in the Old Testament places where peace is used. Many times it's from the Hebrew word shalom. And it has closely connects to all that we're looking at here in the New Testament. For instance, Jeremiah 29:11 is a familiar verse. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace, thoughts of shalom, and not of evil, to give you an expected end. And Isaiah 9:6 is that prophecy of Jesus that was going to come. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. The Prince of Peace. Now, if you'll just look with me here in John 14, I want to read a number of verses here and just sort of look at what Jesus is teaching the disciples here and us about peace and his interaction with mankind going forward. You'll notice here in verse 15, we'll start there, John 14, verse 15, if you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me. Because I live, ye shall live also. At that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest. I will reveal myself to him. Jesus saith unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father which sent me. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto thee. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Ye have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. If ye love me, ye would rejoice, because I go unto my Father, for my Father is greater than I. And now I have told you, before it come to pass, that when it is come to pass, ye might believe. Hereafter I will not talk much with you, for the Prince of this world cometh and hath nothing in me. But that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, even so do I. Arise, and let us go hence. I have about three or four points that I want to look at here in closing of this sermon. Understanding what peace is and how we walk in it in our everyday lives. You'll notice here in these verses that Jesus makes a very clear connection between who he was and his relationship to the Father, and how that he showed his love to the Father by his obedience to the Father, doing the will of the Father. And he goes on and he talks about how just in that same way, mankind, those of us who have accepted Christ, or those of us who have entered into the plan of God, in that same way, where there's going to be this same reciprocal relationship. And in that relationship, or as a part of that relationship, there is this comforter. And the comforter is the key to peace. The Comforter is, and we're going to look at that just as we go along, but the first point that I just want to make, it's a real simple one, and that is this. It's almost a cliche, so we almost don't say it, we almost draw back from saying it, but I'm going to say it here simply and again. Jesus is the answer for our peace. And we found that so clearly here in Romans 5, verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. It's so simply said there. Our peace is found in Jesus Christ. And that peace can only be found by faith and by reaching out and claiming the blood of Christ upon our lives. It is by faith. It is by believing. This need, this empty space that all mankind have, is filled by the work of Christ, who restores our relationship with our Creator. Jesus restores our relationship with our Creator. And that is the link that mankind seeks after. And there is tremendous energy that is invested in religions or meditations or yogas or filling oneself up with his own self to somehow fill, bridge that gap. And that cannot be argued, proof of the fact that there is a need in our lives. And Jesus is that answer. Listen, this morning, power. There is a place not so far from here, a couple hours from here, that there's a lot of power in it. And there's a lot of people seeking after power this morning. A new administration has come to D.C., and so people are flocking there looking for opportunities to get their piece of the power, all right? Get their piece of the action, to be needed and involved and leading the charge of whatever it is. My point is, there is men and women look to fill this void in their lives by power. Talk about money and talk about friends, talk about things. Or we can get very, very caught up with somehow if we would just have the right environment. If things would just be perfect. And so you see a lot of really perfect, really right environments in today's world. I mean, you walk into the house and it's just neat and it's clean and you've got all you want and you've got things to amuse you with and you've got toys in the garage. The perfect environment will not fill this void. It will not restore the relationship with mankind between the Creator. And so none of these. And so we simply and boldly this morning proclaim that Jesus is our peace. He is our peace. How do we make that real in our lives? How do we help that go from a faith, facts, and words in a book to a reality in our lives? And I'd like to just look at a couple points, and I hope they can be practical ones about how that we do that. Number one, the next point I'd like to look at is closely tied to this thing of faith and Jesus Christ and knowing that he is our answer. He said it in the Word of God that he is. He's proven it by his own life. In fact, that's what Jesus was doing here. He was telling the disciples before it happened, as we read those verses, what he was doing and what was going to happen, and it all happened. Once again, proof of who Jesus was. But this point that we're looking at is this thought of repentance and redemption. They're closely connected to salvation by Jesus Christ. But this morning, I just want to remind us, if you are like me, I can very easily look back and become discouraged. And Jesus, the plan of God through Jesus Christ is that we have redemption. We've been redeemed. We've been made new. We've been sanctified by the blood of Jesus Christ by the forgiveness of sins and according to the riches of his grace. So repentance and redemption are so closely tied together. But it's simply a sorrow for an acknowledgement of our sin and a willingness to turn from it, a commitment to turn from it. And so when we struggle with, there's times when we struggle with our peace. And it's right that we should stop and look at our own lives and say, have I repented? Am I sorry? Am I turning from? And that is a key to peace, is establishing that in my life. Repentance and redemption by the blood of Jesus Christ. The next point that I have, I'm going to move on to the next point, and that is simply this: walking in knowledge. Peace, perfect peace. How is peace found in my life? The song that I read talks about duties that press us, about sorrows that we have, about futures that are unknown. We have peace this morning by walking in knowledge, simple obedience. And this is probably where it probably comes home the most for me. As I thought about this throughout my week, and as I was dealing with some interpersonal relationships and thinking about that, and as I was dealing with, as I went about my work, I thought about the fact that, well, what about me breaking the speed limit? the speed limit was 70, and I had my cruise set at 73. Now, what am I to do with that? Is that a fair question? What about my peace? See, that can be a really slippery slope. And I thought about the litany of other laws that my life is constrained by. I thought about our brotherhood agreements, relationships that we had. Walking in knowledge, simple obedience. Walking in the knowledge that I have. That's my point. Walking in the knowledge and understanding that I have. Simply honoring the truth that I have in my own heart. And I don't have an answer for you here this morning. As to how we should deal with every one of the questions. Because I find that the more and more focused I become on somehow crossing every jot and tittle of the law, so that there's no place where I have violated, and so my peace should be secure, either I found that to be an impossible place to get to, or when you do get there, you're not real sure if it really has established your peace anyway. Anyone know what I'm talking about? I'm probably not making the conflict clear enough. But what do you do with real life and this thing of peace? What do you do with it? Well, I think it does need to change us. That's my point. So we need to walk in obedience. And to me, having established our salvation through Christ, having established repentance from my sin, then there's this thing called life that we walk in. And how do I sort through that and not lose that thing that I really need for success? And that is peace with God through Jesus Christ. I need that peace with God through Jesus Christ. I need that assurance. I need that comfort. And that's what Jesus is talking about. Jesus said, he says here in John 14, now, I am obeying my Father. My Father is greater than me. He has work for me to do. And I've come here to do that work. And he goes on then to say in he starts out in verse 15, if you love me, keep my commandments. And he goes on in verse 23 and says, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. That is the definition of peace. I believe that when we have this peace in our hearts, it's absolutely what's happening. That verse 23 is being fulfilled, that God is entering in, that Jesus and God have made their abode and relationship is established and real in our lives. And so we find it, for me, and as Christians, those of us who are in Christ, our peace is cultivated. It is recognized in us as we simply follow after, obey according to knowledge, and endeavor by the good graces of God in our lives to walk in obedience. And I still don't know what to do with all of the little situations that pop up. And, you know, I don't know what yours are, whether it's your temptation may be to not be as quite as clearly honest as you could be, or it may be a challenge to have with anger or language, foul words. That might be your temptation that you deal with. It might be just some regulation that you're faced with. Are you going to obey it to the, every little, you know? What are you going to do? Are you going to see that everything can, as far as it could be possibly, or are you going to take that, cut that corner, or whatever it might be? How are we to sort that all out? I finally, recognize that each one of us are going to need to be honest and open before God in those areas in our lives. And I believe that God will reveal to us. That's what these verses are saying. Honor me, follow my word, follow my commands. If you do that, you'll love me. We'll see that you love us and that we will love you. He that loveth me, in verse 24, he that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and so on. But he says in verse 26, those who love and obey this Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things. And so I see verse 26, the Comforter, which is the Holy Spirit, and verse 27, this thing of peace being closely connected. And so throughout the day, sometimes it's really hard to sort out, you know, whether or not I have destroyed my peace by violating that speed limit or not completely stopping at that stop sign, or you fill in the blank. I'm just using those as examples. You fill in the blank. We need to, one thing we need to be very certain of, because I'm not sure that I can remove every one of those situations in my life. One thing I do need to be certain of, I need to be certain that this Comforter, which is in my heart, has free course to speak into my life and to reveal further his truth to me. And when that revelation makes it clear that I need to bump that cruise down two notches, then that's what I need to do. And it might look different for you. And so sometimes that's why this thing can become some kind of a lowest common denominator, because it may not all be the same. Well, I rode with Clyde the other day and he drives like, you know, I don't know that. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying those are the kind of things that can happen, that we become numb to this thing of obedience and hearing the Comforter. And we lose our peace. That's the point. We lose our peace. But I do believe it is very possible for us to have and cultivate and experience this peace in a world that is, in fact, full of sin. And that rubs off on us. We touch it. We get close to it. It's because that's where we are. And in a world that is imperfect, and in a world where we face temptations that are unique to us, and all of those things. And yet, so I sort of am covering my next point, and that is fixed on truth. Verse 26, the Comforter that is going to come will teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance. I see in that verse a progressive revelation of truth to me. I believe truth has been revealed to us, but it's not all yet been revealed to me. And so the Comforter, his work is to help this thing of peace in our lives, and to touch us, to instruct us, and to further reveal truth and God's plan for us. But we're fixed on the truth. That's the main point that I'd like to bring out this morning in this, and that simply is that. For us to have peace in our lives, I believe that we need to have a true commitment to be fixed on the truth. I really do want the truth in my life. I really do want it to change me today. I want it to change me the rest of this day, and then Monday morning, tomorrow morning, I want this truth to change me again. And that's the only way that I personally have found that peace can be a part of my life, where there is a present and real cultivation of truth and being fixed on it in my life. And it will. This peace can be experienced. That's the point. And it must be experienced by Christians. We need it. And finally, my last point is we find this peace when we're assured of our end. These are some beautiful promises here in verse 26 and verse 27. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let it be afraid. That is really where Jesus Christ, by the plan of God, wants us to be. And I know that if you're like me, you know what it's like to ride this roller coaster of peace. But I think what God really wants us to do is to get settled, get an equilibrium, a baseline of truth, of this truth in our lives. And that is that in Christ, we are at peace with God. And then allow God to work on us day by day. And yeah, the situations are not perfect. And life brings its twists. It's all the song writes about. By thronging duties pressed. And so what do you do when those situations that you're just outside of your control? It's the way your wife's treating you. It's the way your husband's treating you. It's the way life's treating you. It really isn't perfect. Assured of our end. That's what these verses are about. For me, peace is when I know that nothing stands between God and I. Peace is when I rise above all the unrest in everyday life with the confidence and assurance in the only relationship that matters for eternity. Confidence and assurance in the only relationship that matters for eternity. A couple quotes that I found as I was studying this. Peace does not mean to be in a place where there is no noise, trouble, or hard work. It means to be in the midst of those things and still be calm at heart. Another quote I found, find your security, success, and peace in God. Then and only then can it not be taken from you. And another verse that I didn't get to, there's many in the New Testament. Colossians 3:15 in closing, and let the peace of God rule, R-U-L-E, rule in your hearts, to the which also you are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let's allow this peace to rule. If, in fact, we have that relationship with Christ, let's allow this peace to rule in our hearts this week. God bless you all. Let's kneel for prayer. Our Father in heaven, we come to you here on bended knees. And Lord, you know that we live in an unpeaceful world. There is much turmoil about us. There is fear. There's anger. There's needs all around us. Lord, you know that better than we even know it, but we can see it as well. And I pray, oh God, that you would help us in all of this to be fixed on you. I pray, oh God, for peace and rest in the lives of each one who's in this assembly here today. And I pray that you would further reveal by your Spirit truth to us. Help us, oh God, to be willing to hear it. Help us, oh God, to be willing to be in that kind of relationship and communion with you. I pray, oh God, that we would also be changeable, that we would be clay in your hands, that you would be able to shape us. And I pray most of all that there would be a strong foundation, a baseline of peace in our relationship with you through Jesus Christ. So help us to this end. Help us, oh God, to be obedient. Help us to be in relationship with you as you are with your Father, as you point out here in John 14. Help us in that, oh God. We need help in that. We are weak, we're needy, we're in our flesh. You know all of that. And so we do pray for forgiveness. We pray for cleansing. And we do pray that we would be more and more like you. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.